can open up to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. While you're finding your place there, I'll remind our pastoral staff of our meeting Saturday. I've sent out a group message, 8 o'clock Saturday, 9 o'clock will be mentors meeting. I'll be sending that out, and then our pastors deacons meeting will be at 10 o'clock. And that's this Saturday, and then afterward we'll go out soul winning and visiting. So I trust you'll be a part of that, and then pray for us as we conduct God's business and then go out into the community. All right, Leviticus 23, we've been talking about these festivals, these feast days, and I'd like to continue to talk about that with you some. We'll open our Bibles to chapter 23. We'll begin our reading in verse 15. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read these scriptures together. Leviticus 23, we'll begin our reading in verse 15, and we'll read down together through verse number 22, and we're going to talk about one of the spring festivals, one of the spring feasts, and that's the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. It's called either or in the scripture, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, and we'll pick up our reading in verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenths deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread for the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God, and thank you for the truth of your Word. It is with confidence that we have opened and read your Word as it is in truth the very Word of God. And Lord, we approach it reverently with respect because we know it is not the Word of a man, but it is the very Word of God that will work effectually in our hearts and in our lives if we would allow it to through the ministry of your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts this evening and help us to learn the truth of this festival, this gathering, this celebration of Pentecost, that we would learn not only its teaching, but its truth that was to come and now has come, and we rejoice that we are partakers of its typical meaning and the truth that we have experienced through the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. We love you and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. When we look at these feasts, if you'll remember, there was words that I gave you, and I want to give you those words so we can kind of come up to where we are. We talked about the feast of the Passover, and that is about redemption. The second feast was of unleavened bread, and that was about consecration. The third feast we looked at last week was the feast of first fruits, and the first fruits was resurrection. You may remember we talked about the resurrection, how that Christ was the first fruits. Tonight we're going to talk about the feast of Pentecost, or the feast of weeks, it's called in some passages of Scripture. The feast of Pentecost, and of course we get the feast of Pentecost because the word Pentecost means 50 days. And so if you'll notice, the Scripture said in verse number 16, after the completion of seven Sabbaths on the morrow, verse 16, after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days. Now, just a casual reader of the Scripture knows that these 50 days, in the fast forward into the time when Christ resurrected, and of course that's what the first fruits was a picture of. It actually happened. We talked about its actual historical purpose, but then we talked about its typical meaning. And then this has the same. 50 days from the first fruits, from the wave offering, you have the feast or the festival, the celebration, the feast day of Pentecost. And Pentecost is when they would take the grain and they would grind it into fine flour, and they would bake two loaves and they would wave it, those two loaves, before the Lord. And the Scripture tells a little something about that, and we'll go into that in just a moment. And they did it to show the Lord a series of things, that how God had blessed them and how that he had fulfilled his promise, and that he had given the harvest, and they wanted to give back to him because they recognized that he had given to them all that they have. And there was two things that God told them to do. He said, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to give unto me in a portion that is commensurate with what I've given to you. And then he said, I want you to give to those that do not have. I want you to leave some of what I've given you. I want you to leave the corners of your field. I want you to leave the gleanings. I want you to leave that for the stranger and for the poor. So in essence, what God is saying here is, when I bless you, I don't want you to forget where I found you. I don't want you to forget your days in Egypt. And we'll see that here in just a moment. He said, don't you forget that you're in bondage, and that I came to you, and that I blessed you, and that I've given you what you have. And I want you to recognize that, and so I want you to give back to me. That's the first thing. In other words, God first. And then he said, I want you not to forget the poor and the widows and the strangers. Don't forget those that are without. In other words, others. We've been talking about this on Sunday morning now for some time out of the book of Philippians. That's the way God operates in our lives. Jesus first, others, and then ourselves. And that's exactly what God is doing here. Now, it's really something that God brings us together on this feast day, or this festival, this time of celebration that we know as Pentecost, because it is a picture of the giving, the sending of the Holy Spirit, as we shall see here in just a moment. Now, the only way I'm going to put God first, the only way I'm going to put others before myself, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The natural man will not do that. The natural man, he doesn't care about spiritual things. To him, spiritual things are not important. But when a man is spirit-filled, a man will seek first the kingdom of God. And then he will look to help other people. He will look to see what the needs of other people are, and he will look to meet those needs, realizing that God will take care of him. Jesus said, don't you take thought of your life. Don't you take thought of what your need is. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. I know what you have need of. I'll take care of you. And he will. And he has. Amen. God will take care of his own. God has taken care of his own, and he always will. Now let's look at this feast day. Now, I told you that Passover, redemption. Okay? The Passover lamb. Picture of the shedding of the blood, the atonement, and the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. We've seen that right here in this 23rd chapter. And then there was unleavened bread, which is no sin. Got to get leaven out. Leaven is a picture of sin. Got to be consecrated. Got to be set aside, sanctified for the cause of Christ and the work that he saved us to do. God doesn't use dirty vessels. Got to get cleaned up, right? There's a positional sanctification, And there's a practical sanctification, Godward, manward. And so that's what the unleavened bread is a picture of. Then there was the first fruits, the resurrection. All right? We operate in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We operate in that power. And because he resurrected and is the first fruits, brethren, we can know we one day are going to live in his likeness. Amen. We're going to resurrect and have a glorified body like unto his body. This life is not all there is. There is a better day coming. I want to assure you on the authority of the Word of God that this is not all there is. For if in this life only, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:19, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's verse 19. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of all them that slept. Amen. And so we know that we're going to, as believers, we're going to resurrect in his likeness and we're going to live forever with him. Now, this next festival day, in this chapter, you'll find this word festival or feast 9 times. It means appointed time. It's a time that God set aside for celebration. Now, in our society, in Western culture, we have what we call holidays. Well, God had holy days, right? And God set aside these times. He said, I want you to celebrate some things. I want you to celebrate some things in your life, some things that I have done and am doing in your life. The feast days, it's mentioned, as I said, 9 times. Here's a word, holy convocation. Look, if you would, in verse number 2, you'll find both of these mentioned. For the first time in this chapter, feast days is mentioned 9 times, holy convocations 10. Feast days, that's appointed time. And then if you'll read in verse 2, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. That word convocation is gathering for an announcement. It's a gathering. See, God wanted everyone to be a part of this. He doesn't want anyone to miss out on this. He wants all of the people to together and be a part of these festivals, these celebrations, these times where God is going to proclaim something and allow his people to show their thanksgiving for his blessing on their lives. In verse number 16, he said, even on the morrow. Now, I want you to underline that because there's 3 things that I want you to write down about the significance of the first day of the week that we find in this chapter. All right? Now, there are those, and there's no need in arguing about it. The Bible's very clear. Who would say, well, you know, the Christians need to meet and worship on the Sabbath day. Well, the Bible teaches that we meet on the first day of the week. Okay? Over and over again, the Bible teaches and points to that we are to congregate and gather ourselves in celebration on the first day of the week, on the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, when did he resurrect? On the first day of the week. Did you know there was a feast that God gave that pointed toward that? We looked at it last week. Look, if you would, in verse number 10 of chapter 23. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. In other words, here's the first fruits, okay? Now, when was this first fruits festival, this holy convocation, this feast celebrated? Well, the Bible says in verse number 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath. What's that? That's Sunday. Amen. So the resurrection, even in the feast day of the Lord, under the old economy, God was still pointing toward, I want you to know that one day, that the first day is going to be the day, all right, for the first fruits. Now, when was this next feast day? Well, which is a picture of, it's Pentecost, but it's a picture of when the Holy Spirit of God, as we shall see in a moment, when the Holy Spirit of God descended and the church was born. Let me tell you something. There were 120 individuals, as we look at in Acts chapter 1 and 2, that went up into the upper room. But I'm going to tell you, when they came down, there wasn't 120 individuals. It was a church. The Spirit of God birthed the church on that day. Listen to me. It was no longer individuals. They became a body. They became a collection of believers. And that's what God calls his church, a collection. It's not about individuals. It's about us as one in Christ. And that's what he's showing here, as we'll see here in just a moment. When did that happen? On the first day of the week. The first day of the week. So there's three things that we need to understand that we, every time we meet on a Sunday, we're celebrating. Okay? We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the time when he came and he baptized the believers on the day of Pentecost. That happened on a Sunday. All right? On a Sunday. Not a Saturday. On a Sunday. And then we're celebrating the fact that the church was birthed. You say, well, I believe the church was born in Matthew 16. That's okay if you want to believe that. But the Spirit of God baptizes believers into the body of Christ. Don't say how you can have the church, which is the body of Christ, without the Spirit of God doing the baptism. Amen. And so that's the first day of the week. Think about this. Here's three things that you need to have on your mind. You say, preacher, I got 50 things on my mind when I come to church. Try to narrow it down to three. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. The sending of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost. And the baptism of the body of Christ until the church was born. All right, the church of Jesus Christ. Sunday, we celebrate these things. And so when we come together, we ought to come together in the mindset of celebration. We're celebrating some things. And we need to celebrate these things each time we meet on the Lord's Day. If we don't celebrate anything else, we need to make sure we celebrate these things. And I believe in that order. All right? Now, let's look at some of the truths that we can find here on this Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? I want you to notice in the feast that's mentioned before this, look if you would back in verse number 10 of chapter 23. Here's what happens. He says, I want every individual to bring a sheaf. Now watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. It's on the individual. You see what's happening here? Look at it again, verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be coming to the land which I give you, he said, I want you to take a sheaf, each one of them, and I want you to give it to the priest. In other words, get a picture of a stalk, okay? And there's a bunch of them gathered together, and they're waving them before the Lord. A collection of sheaves. A collection. You see, that's what's happening in verse number 10 and 11. Look at it. He said, I want you to take those sheaves. He said, speak unto the children of Israel, verse number 10, and take those sheaves and give them to the priest, and he'll wave them before the Lord. Individuals. Individuals. Now, look how it changes in this next feast. In the next feast, he said, in verse number 17, you shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two tent deals. They shall be a fine flour, and shall be baken with leaven. I want you to underline that. Very unusual. Very unusual. It's the only offering in all of the offerings where leaven was to be put into the recipe. All other offerings, God said, I want you to take the leaven out. Now, we looked in the scripture and we've seen where leaven is a picture of what? Sin. Corruption. Right? Corruption. Sin. God said, I want you to take the leaven out. But on this particular feast day, he said, I want you to add the leaven in. And there's not individual sheaves. All the sheaves are brought together and they're ground down to flour and they're mixed with oil. This is what the Bible says. Look at it here. And in verse number 17, verse number 18, verse number 19 and 20, he said, I want you to take these things and I want you to mix them together. And he said, I want you to bake two loaves of bread. Now, what do you think God is trying to show us here? Well, the children of Israel, he's trying to show them that they need to come together. Okay, that it's not about individuals. There is a time for individual worship. There is a time for individual fellowship with God. But then there's a time for corporate. He said, I want all of these that are individual sheaves, I want them to be ground down, and I want them to come together, and I want them to be represented in one loaf. In other words, in one body. And then he said, I want two. I want two of them. All right? Now, it's not hard to see here, and I'm going to show you in the scripture, where one of these loaves represent the day of Pentecost. When the Jews come together on the day of Pentecost. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now, there's been estimated, and you can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 2, there's been estimated that there was about 1,500 days of Pentecost before this day of Pentecost, okay? I don't know if there were that many. I don't know. I said there's been estimated. About 1,500 from the day that Moses instituted these feast days until we get to Acts chapter 2, there's been an estimate of approximately 1,500 days of Pentecost. And now the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. God, this is the one that God was pointing to. Okay? This was the one that God was pointing to. You know how the Passover was pointing to Jesus? So that when John looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. See, that Passover Lamb was pointing toward that time when Jesus came, and John pointed to him and he said, there he is right there. Now, the Feast of Pentecost was pointing toward this time. This time. There's some things that happened here. The Bible says when the day, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, there was 120 of them. You can find that in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says the number of the names together were about 120. You see that? Acts 1:15. Now, they went up 120 individuals. But they came down one body. I'm telling you, they got filled with the Spirit of God baptized them into the body of Christ. Now, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's talk about this just for a moment. Now, here's something you need to understand. If you look in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 5 that they were dwelling at Jerusalem. What's that next word? Jews. Not Gentiles, not Jews and Gentiles, Jews. On the day of Pentecost, Jews were baptized into the body of Christ. When did God open the door and begin to place Gentiles into the body of Christ? Acts chapter 10, right? In the house of Cornelius. I want you to turn there. So we have the first loaf here in chapter 2. Now, someone's going to leave and say, well, the preacher taught tonight that there's two Pentecosts. There cannot be two Pentecosts no more than there can be two Calvaries. And you can say amen right there. And for those of you that are listening on the Facebook live stream, we believe in eternal life here. There's no two Calvaries, one Calvary. One Calvary. Christ suffered once for all. So there's not two Pentecosts. We don't pray for another Pentecost. I'm not praying for another Calvary, and we don't pray for another Pentecost. And I tell you what we do need. We need the Spirit of Pentecost, for sure. We need Holy Spirit power. I wrote down this, and I'll go ahead and read it. Vance Havner. If you've never read after Vance Havner, I highly recommend that you do. Here's a quote from Vance Havner. We are not going to move this world by the criticism of it, nor the conformity to it, but by the combustion within it of lives ignited by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what's going to move people. Spirit-filled Christians. Spirit-filled believers. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came to baptize those devout Jews into the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to read this chapter to you, but there was a devout man who was seeking the Lord by the name of Cornelius. He was a Gentile. And God spoke to him and told him, I want you to send after a man by the name of Simon Peter. And he said, send after him. And so he spoke to Peter's heart and spoke to Cornelius. They sent after Peter. He came. And God was moving, and God gave Peter a vision, and Peter said, what's happening here? And God said, listen, he said, I don't want you to count any man uncommon or unclean. Not any man. He said, I want you to include all men. You give the gospel to whosoever will. Now listen carefully. You're in chapter 10. Look, if you would, in chapter 10 and in verse number 32. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged in the house of one Simon Tanner by the seaside. When he commandeth, shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent unto thee. He's telling Peter. And then Peter in verse number 34 opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad of that? God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And he began to tell them that since God was no respecter of persons, that God showed him that he was not to receive any man to be clean or common or unclean. So he was going to give the word to all people. Notice what the scripture says here. While Peter in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so essentially the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost with the Jews is happening here to the Gentiles. And so we have the Gentiles now being added. So what's God teaching us here? God said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take two loaves and I want you to hold them up before heaven to show that there, in God's eyes, as far as people are concerned, there's Jews and there's Gentiles. You say, well, preacher, there's literally hundreds and thousands of dialects and nationalities of people, Jews and Gentiles. That's the way God sees them. Amen? By the way, spiritually, lost and saved. Lost and saved. There's no middle ground there. Say, well, I'm on my way. No, you're lost. I'm almost, Agrippa said. You're lost. You're lost, you see. You're either lost or saved tonight. Either on your way to heaven, on your way to hell. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. And so here, he said, I want you to take those two loaves which are representative. Now, what did Christ do with those? He made them one body. He made them one body. You see, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, he baptized those believers into the body of Christ. And listen, from that day, the birth of the church was. Now the church is, and the church is still today. People are still being added to the church by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the Godhead? He is the most misunderstood person. There are people that will make much of God the Father, much of God the Son, and rarely ever mention or feel that they have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. Listen carefully. God used His Son, God the Son, to come and to seek and save that which was lost. But after Jesus found you listen to me now. He said, it is expedient unto you that I go away. Now, it was expedient that he come that we might get to heaven. Right? Is that right, brother? If Jesus had not come, we have no way to heaven. It was expedient that Jesus come that we get to heaven. But he said in John chapter number 6, it is expedient unto you that I go. Because if I don't go, you won't receive the Comforter. Can I tell you that the Christian cannot make it in this world without the Holy Spirit? We absolutely have to have the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in the old economy, the Spirit of God would come upon men and then leave men. On the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Spirit of God came to stay. To stay. There's a permanency in the ministry of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, I want to give you just a few things about the Holy Spirit that you as a Christian need to know. I hope you know them. Now, I want to just test you a little bit, kind of let you work your mind, okay? Think about ministries of the Holy Spirit that are evidenced in your life daily. Daily. What are they? Ministries of the Holy Spirit that are evidenced in our lives daily. The Bible says we must have these ministries if we're going to be what God intends us to be as a believer. Did you think about them? Now let's start with the first one, and then we'll get to those. Number one, you don't have the Holy Spirit if you've never been saved. Because that is when the Holy Spirit takes up His residence in your life. God the Holy Spirit lives in every believer. That's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling, that is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. He indwells every believer. Write this verse down, Romans 8, 9. The Bible says, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. If you're here tonight and you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's not a question. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Anyone that would teach you different than that is teaching you a lie. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Number two, since the Holy Spirit lives in you, when He came to indwell you, what He did is He baptized you into the body of Christ. Every believer that has been saved is now part of a corporate body called the body of Christ or the church. We're part of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that by one Spirit are we all baptized. The word baptized means immersed, placed into. It even means identified with. See, when here at Fellowship Baptist Church, you're not just an individual believer only. You're part of a body of believers. You're part of this body here. You represent us, and we represent you. Amen? That's what the Scripture teaches. Now, in Galatians 3:28, write it down. The Bible says in the body of Christ, there's no more Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. In other words, there's no privileges. Listen, God, one member of the body is not higher than another. All members of the body are needful. You can read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul begins to talk about the spiritual gifts. He begins to talk about the need of every member of the body. God has no respect. God is no respecter of persons. You say, well, I'm more important than he is or she is. No, you're not. No, you're not. So, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you're saved. If He doesn't, you're not. Number two, if the Spirit of God lives in you, He has baptized you into the body of Christ. You're a member of Christ's church. You're a member of the body. Number three, if you're a member of the body of Christ and the Spirit of God lives in you, the Bible says you are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of Jesus Christ. All right? You're sealed. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God seals us. You say, preacher, I'm trying to stay in this thing. Well, you, just stop that. You're not going to be able to do that. That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. Right? You get in, the Spirit of God seals us in. Does the Bible teach this, brethren? This is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, what ministry are you to rely on every day? Here they are. You ready? Every day. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Some people get the filling of the Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit mixed up. See, the baptism of the Spirit has to do with me being in His body. The filling of the Spirit has to do with my body being given to Him. I'm going to say that again. All right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, me into His body. the filling of the Holy Spirit, my body given to him. Does the Spirit of God have all of you? Does he? You see, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's got, listen, you've got all of him. Amen? But does he have all of you? Filled with the Spirit. It's a continuous thing. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one time. Permanent. Filling of the Holy Spirit, many times. Many times. But be ye being filled. It's something that happens regularly. Should anyway. Being filled with the Spirit. When's the last time you was filled with the Spirit? 20 years ago? That's way too long, my friend. 20 days ago? Way too long. Way too long. The filling of the Holy Spirit. It's important. It's a ministry that should be a part of our everyday life as a Christian. Every day we need to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit and yield ourselves for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Many times, more than one time a day. The filling of the Holy Spirit. What about the fruit? By the way, that's Ephesians 5:18. What about the fruit of the Spirit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Is that the fruit of the Spirit? It sure is. That should be, the fruit of the Spirit should be active in our life on a daily basis. The Spirit of God should be producing these spiritual characteristics into our lives every day. Producing fruit as we yield to Him. And so on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, the Spirit of God, it was pointing toward the sending, the giving, the coming of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God. You ever talk to the Holy Spirit? Some people never talk to the Holy Spirit. He talks to me. Spirit of God ever speak to you? He sure does. Listen when he speaks. Listen when he speaks. And so here's some things that the Spirit of God does. And I want to go back and we'll close here in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter number 23. So the day of Pentecost or the feast of Pentecost is pointing toward the sending or the giving of the Holy Spirit. In the day, it was a one day. Now look at it. It happened one day. The Bible says it this way. Leviticus 23. It says in verse number 17, you shall bring out your habitation's two-wave loaves of two-tenths deals, and they shall be fine flour, and they shall be bacon with leaven. You know why? Church is not perfect. Right? So we're perfect, preacher. Okay. You keep thinking that. We'll never be perfect until one day, Jesus is going to present us unto himself faultless. Holy, spotless, without blemish. But that day is not now. That day is not now. God's still ironing some wrinkles out in my life. How about you? Is the church perfect? No. Because it's made up of imperfect people. And that's why, out of all the offerings, God said, you can put leaven in this one. Because I'm going to allow this one to represent my church to come. And we're not perfect. Now, Jesus is perfect. Hey, by the way, let me say this while I'm here. You know, isn't it amazing how when people come to church, they're always looking at the leaven. They're always looking at the sin of the saints. Can I tell you, look at the sinlessness of the Savior. Get your eyes off the sin of the saints and get your eyes on the sinlessness of the Savior. Amen? Can I say that again? We need to quit looking at Christians and start looking at Christ. I can't tell you how many people, well, I dropped out of church. They're sinners over there. Well, that didn't surprise you, did it? That shouldn't surprise you. We don't come to church to watch one another, brethren. We come to church to worship God. We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All these people running around saying, well, I quit church over there, nothing but a bunch of sinners. Come join us, you're just like us. Amen. What a sad way to fall out of church. What a sad lie to believe of the devil. So I want to encourage you, don't you believe that lie. Don't you get your eyes on sinful Christians. You get your eyes on the sinless Savior. That's who we need to keep our eyes on. Amen? Well, after these offerings were made, and each one of them has something, look at verse 21. It says, and ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day. It was a one day now, one day. On the selfsame day, that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. No working on the Lord's day. No working. Don't want you doing that. Don't want you working on this day. No work. Why? He said, because, he said, I want it to be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. I want you to take in what this day encompasses. What's it to encompass? Look what he said in verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. I'm not going to turn, my time won't allow me tonight to turn into Deuteronomy, but I do want you to write these scriptures down. Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 12, and Deuteronomy 24, verses 28 through 32. It's talking about when God gives you a harvest, you give to God and then give to others. And God said, I'll bless you for it. I'll bless you for it. And He has. And He will. Pentecost. What causes a man to want to give? What causes a man to want to take what he's got and give to others? The love of God in his heart that is shed abroad there by the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will cause you to want to take what God has given you and share it with others. It just will. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit and His working in my life. Somebody tell me what the next, as we bring this to a close, what's the next feast day? Trumpets. You know what? I want you to go home and read this. It's really interesting. There is a gap of time of about 4 months. Do the math, okay? Right here in chapter 23. 4 months from the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the Feast of Trumpets, the word there is expectation because it's a picture of the rapture. Now, that interval of time, I believe, is a picture of the church age. You know why? Because it's harvest season. And God told me and you in this harvest season that we're to pray the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Did you know that Jesus said, say not ye, they are yet 4 months. Isn't that something? 4 months. The exact same gap of time that was between Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Trumpets. He says, say not there 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. In other words, in this time that's given you, this span of time, you need to begin to reap the harvest. Get the people. Get them in, right? Be involved in the harvest. Get people saved. Get them saved. At the end of the harvest, the Feast of Trumpets. And that's the rapture. Harvest time is over then. And the opportunities that we have in this span of time will no longer be. Let's stand to our feet.